And now the game where we ask interesting people about things that do not interest them. Rachel Dratch was one of the stars of Saturday Night Live from 1999 to 2006. She was hilarious and great and funny, and then she left the show. And what happened then? Well, Rachel got so tired of answering that question, she wrote a whole book about it. She joins us now. Rachel Dratch, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you.
So, I want to talk to you about Saturday Night Live. You were on the show. You were hilarious and great. And you, among many other things, you had the most expressive and comedic face I think I've ever seen. You could get laughs just with a facial expression. I mean, like, there's a sketch you do where you're eating a chocolate dessert that is remarkable.
Chocolate Vesuvius.
The chocolate Vesuvius, which is pretty crazy. Is that something you learned when you were like growing as a comedian to do like just?
No, I think that's just like a. It's just a natural thing. It's weird to talk about facial expressions, but I'm not even there, so it's just my voice.
Here, do a funny one for us now. We'll see if you can tell.
Hilarious.
Let me ask you about some of the characters you did on the show. I loved Denise, your Bostonian, because I spent some time in Boston.
You. Yeah.
And one of your characters was Debbie Downer.
Yeah, that's when I get the most. People come up to me and they're like, oh, my boss is like that, or my sister's like that, or whatever. But yeah, we cracked up so hard in that initial scene that I think that like is etched in people's minds.
Let me ask you about, you talk in your book about the difficulty you've had getting cast in roles in Saturday Night Live. Oh, yeah. You say you only roles you get called for are secretaries, lesbians, and secretaries who are lesbians.
Exactly. Well, that's very true.
So what,
I mean, it was... I don't know what it is, but it's like it was almost like a joke. Like every script that would come my way, which by the way, don't get me wrong, like it was like once every 3 months or something. But like it was always a lesbian, often obese, and usually over the age of 60. Like I don't know what it was. That is how I'm seen in Hollywood, I guess.
How does that work? Because you are neither a lesbian, obese, or over 60.
I know. I'm not quite sure, but that's just how. Whatever. I don't know. Like, I don't know. It's kind of a mystery to me, but. After a while, I just kind of gave up trying to figure it out. I'm like definitely a character part. I play a lot of like low status people, so I don't know. Maybe
right.
Like, I'm used, like you know, I say this in the book. I sort of thought like, oh, maybe I play the wacky friend, but I discovered like I'm a little too odd to even be the wacky friend. So that's why I'm like, instead I'm like the weird secretary, which I'm actually like, I'm fine with the lesbian thing. I'm not into like playing someone who's like 65 and obese. If that's not what I think I look like, but whatever.
Hey, it's a stretch. Come on.
Maybe you should do a one-woman show in which you are an older, obese, lesbian secretary.
Yeah, you know what? That's actually a pretty good idea. Beat them at their own game. Yeah.
Exactly. You say your new book, Girl Walks Into a Bar, as a memoir. It's based on questions people kept asking you in the street after you left SNL. So what were some of those questions?
Well, actually, that's kind of a small part of the book. It actually started because I wasn't really getting any jobs after SNL, so I had all this time on my hands. I thought, like, okay, maybe I should write up, if something funny happens to me, I should write it up as a little story. And so then I had this little stack of stories. And then eventually I got a crazy sort of life plot twist that provided a twist for the whole book. But the initial stories were kind of like, you know, bad dates and stuff I was doing instead of acting. And but then about a year later, at almost age 44, I, by surprise, got pregnant. And so then that provided a whole kind of direction for the...
When you say by surprise...
By surprise, I knew I was...
Do you have any idea how that happened, or did it? In your book, you talk a lot about the dates you went on. Can you tell us about some of them?
Yeah. So, one guy just blew me off really hard, and he said he was also really into eating horse meat. That's a sidebar.
Wait a minute. He blew you off and told you, says, "I don't want to see you anymore. I'm going to be busy eating a horse."
No.
What?
He was really into horse meat. Then later he blew me off.
Oh.
So, anyway.
So he thought the horse meat was a selling point.
Exactly.
So anyway, so that was guy number one.
I don't know if the dates are really like worth going into.
Oh, they are. All right. So already you had the rude horse meat guy. Who was next?
Second guy was, well, this is kind of typical, but he was gay. And then the third guy.
Hold on. How did you find out he was gay?
And give us time to make a horse meat joke here.
All right, well, don't worry. All right, so you find out he's, all right, that's not good. sure he's very nice otherwise. But then the third guy.
Third guy had a baby. and I guess he wasn't really asking out, but I thought he was. And then I found out he really wasn't at all. You know,
those are terrible dates.
That really is a high incidence, a high ratio of pregnancy to dating.
Yeah. Well, wait a minute. I think we need to go back to that because you had these three disastrous dates, and you ended up pregnant. And I took seventh grade health. I know that there's something missing here.
Well, what's missing is the girl walks into a bar title where then eventually I walked into a bar. By the way, it didn't happen that night because sometimes I don't want people to think
that. Oh, I see. So you don't want to say that you didn't walk in the bar and had a baby that night.
Yeah, I didn't get pregnant when I walked into the bar.
All right.
But no, I started dating this guy long distance for 6 months and then I found out I was pregnant. And it was quite a crazy scenario.
You got pregnant long distance?
That's amazing.
Yeah, that's the most amazing part. That's the crazy
I am, from now on, I am totally using a headset. I am not holding the phone up to my ear if that's a danger.
Yeah.
And I've never been successful in meeting anybody romantically in a bar my whole life. And I
hope me neither. That's why I don't want to give anyone hope.
Because, all right. So I'm curious. You mean you clearly are not, as what they say, a playa.
No.
I'm curious as to what you did to meet, apparently, a very nice guy who you wanted to keep around in the bar.
I don't know. I mean, I can't give advice on this.
Really? Because there are a lot of listeners who probably would like to, you know, meet somebody and get them pregnant long distance and have that power. You can't help?
Was it a landline or a...
Well, Rachel Dratch, we're delighted to have you with us. And we've asked you here today to play a game we're calling...
Let's Rearrange Those Deck Chairs.
This month marks the 100th anniversary of the sinking of the Titanic. So we thought we'd ask you three questions about the James Cameron movie, which inspired that historical tragedy. Answer two right, you'll win our prize for our listeners, Carl's voice on their voicemail. Carl, who is Rachel Dratch playing for?
Rachel is playing for Carla Schuster of Marietta, Georgia.
First question. Okay. According to James Horner, the film's composer, an early rough cut of the movie that he got to see was different from the final film. How? Was it A, the whole Leo and Kate romance was a subplot to the main story about the adventures of spunky Kathy Bates on the ship? B, the movie was 36 hours long? Or C, at the end, the whole thing turned out to be a dream?
Oh. All right. I'm going to guess A.
You're going to guess A, that the Leo and Kate romance was initially a subplot in the rough cut?
That sounds like a really bad guess, doesn't it? But the other two, I can't imagine those either.
Well, think about them.
Yeah, the whole thing being a dream. I mean, the boat... then wakes up in bed with Suzanne Plachette.
You're not going to believe this, it says.
And the second one was that it's 36 hours long,
yes.
The rough cut?
Yes.
I'm going to go with A. I don't know. That was my
You're going to go with A. Well, it was, in fact, B. The rough cut was 36 hours long.
Oh, that was my second choice.
I know. According to James Horner.
Okay.
But
okay.
14 hours of that was just Celine Dion singing. So. Next question. Star Kate Winslet was interviewed recently on the occasion of the 100th anniversary of the sinking, and she says she has a problem with the movie. What? She says, A, whenever she hears the film's love theme, My Heart Will Go On, by Celine Dion, she feels like, quote, barfing. B, she says years later, she still can't take a bath without suffering from post-traumatic stress syndrome. Or C, now that she's older and been around a bit, she says she thinks her character should have stayed with Billy Zane because he was stable and had a good income.
This one is A, because I think I heard her say that.
You're right, it was A. She says she cannot stand the song, My Heart Will Go On.
Yeah.
She says people play the song for her all the time, and she says, quote, I just have to sit there, you know, kind of straight-faced with a massive internal eye roll.
Yeah.
All right, this is good. You're one for two with one to go. Get this one right, you'll win. For the re-release in 3D, James Cameron, despite his temptation to mess with it, says he's changed only one detail of the movie. Which is it? A, he changed the stars in the sky above the ship to make them astronomically accurate. B, instead of Celine Dion singing My Heart Will Go On, now in the credits you hear Katy Perry's Hot and Cold. Or C, instead of throwing the priceless diamond into the ocean, at the very end, the old rose clutches it to her chest and shouts, "Mine! Mine!"
Okay. This must be A, the constellation.
Yes, you're right. He did do that. Cameron says he was responding to a complaint from the astronomer Neil deGrasse Tyson, and he changed the stars to what would have been really visible on that date from the North Atlantic.
Wow.
Yeah. Carl, how did Rachel do?
Rachel had two correct answers, Peter, so that means she wins for Carla Schuster.
All well right. done, Rachel. Congratulations.
Wow. I'm excited. Thank you.
Thank you. It's great to have you. Rachel Dratch is a veteran of Saturday Night Live and author of the new book, A Girl Walks Into a Bar, Comedy Calamities, Dating Disasters, and a Midlife Miracle. Rachel Dratch, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.